Good morning. Welcome to Q&A with Perry A. talking about calcium bentonite clay. I think most of the people listening in know a little about clay. It's volcanic ash from the volcano. The heat of the volcano burn out all the impurities and left pure trace minerals that are bound together that make up what's called a clay particle. It's evolved over millions of years, and the clay particle has a tremendous power for drawing and pulling out the baddies, the bad stuff. Now, clay is selective. It doesn't get everything. It's only interested in positive charged elements, which are your viruses, your fungus, your disease, your bad bacteria. It doesn't pull out all bacteria. And one of the myths I would like to address is it does not pull demineralize the body, nor does it pull out all the good bacteria. It's all about equilibrium and balance. It knows the difference. As I've said many times before, the Indians say clay has a wisdom of its own. It knows where to go and what to do. And I have trusted that and found that to be true for many, many years. This is pretty much turned into a question and answer session, and I do have some questions that were left over from last week that I'm going to start with. I had a question from Linda in Lake Charles. It says, does clay have iron in it? I have read that some clay can have too much iron in it, which can cause iron for detoxing the body, internal conception, or clay baths. I think maybe there was a little word missing in there because part of that doesn't make sense. Yes, clay does have iron in it, a small amount. I think it's 2 or 3%. Different clays have different amounts. Some of your red clays are higher in iron than others, but you'll have to get that. However, the minerals in clay, I've said it before and I'll say it again, are bound together. They are not loosely for absorption into the body. This is not a mineral substance. Now, the body can send enzymes to the clay because the clay acts as a catalyst that works with the body to help the body heal faster. The body can send enzymes and take out some of the things that it needs from the clay. But it does not demineralize your bones, nor does it take away from your vitamins. If you're concerned about your vitamins, your minerals, and your herbs, just wait an hour after you take them and then take the clay. Actually, what clay does is it cleanses. It's such a natural cleanse. One of the most important properties of clay is a cleanse and detox. It has a 9.7 pH, so it alkalizes and balances. It stimulates blood flow and circulation and brings oxygen to the surface and cellular repair, cellular regeneration from the electromagnetic energy in the clay, and it gets rid of parasites in spite of all that. How about that? So I wouldn't worry about clay, iron and clay as far as absorbing it into the body. The whole clay molecule works together. It works as a clay particle, not as individual trace minerals. The next question was from Martha, from last week. What is the difference between taking clay with food, since you offer recipes in your book, versus drinking it or eating it? Wouldn't clay interfere with digestion because of its alkalinity? No, clay is about homeostasis. It balances. It doesn't over-alkalize, so it doesn't interfere with digestion. It enhances digestion. Some people like to take it on an empty stomach. You can't take clay wrong. If you just get it in you or on you, the clay is going to find a way to work. Some people prefer taking it on an empty stomach so it doesn't have to compete with food. I don't think it competes with anything. Clay just knows where to go and what to do and does it. Some people mix it in their smoothies and take it that way. There are times when I want to take it before I eat or right after I eat if I'm going to eat rich, greasy foods, you know, Italian food, a pasta, pizza, fatty meats, anything like that, I want to take it because I want it to absorb that excess cholesterol and fatty oils. Doesn't absorb all of your oils. All right, the next is Jerome. After the clay has dried on the body, will it continue to just be just as effective as first applied saturated? That's a very good question, Jerome. Actually, I find that sometimes the longer I leave it on, the stronger I feel it pulling. But then after a time, it's not quite as effective. At night, I often put a thin coat of clay somewhere on my body and let it work all night. And it does seem to work. Again, if it's something major, the thicker that you have it on there, the better. You have more clay for more drawing power. So if it's like a burn, I had a gentleman the other day that had an outbreak of warts. The whole back of his hand was covered with warts, and they were beginning to put another layer of warts on top of the first layer. He didn't want to have it burn or frozen off. He knew it was a virus. Someone told him that clay would get rid of warts, and he started using it on there. And the lady that told him about it went out of town, and when she came back a couple of weeks later, the back of his hand was just as normal as anyone else's hand. All the warts had fallen off, and there was no mark, no scarring, no anything. Just his hand had returned to normal. So that's a little bit about what it does. So if it's something major, you want it on thick, like a poultice. If it's sometimes at night, you know, it's inconvenient to leave it on thick, a thin coat. A lot of people with acne will put a thin coat on their acne at night and let it work overnight. So it's sort of just a matter there of how you want to do it. Laura from Hanover says, thank you for answering my last question. I haven't heard of filling clay with capsules you can get at a health food store. I'd like to fill some for my husband because he won't drink the clay, but he would take them in pill form. What do you think of this? How many would you suggest a day? And they would also work for me when I'm traveling. Well, Laura, a lot of people do that. I personally think the clay, when it's in a hydrated, activated form, starts working the instant it gets in your mouth. It works in your mouth with bacteria in your mouth. So you're missing a lot of the action of clay. When it's first ingested, it resonates with all the cells of the body. But if you want to take it in capsule form, you can get the double aught size. It's called double zero, double aught size capsules. I had one lady that had lumps under her arms where her lymph glands were, and she was taking 7 capsules twice a day. Now, that's a lot of capsules, and I don't think you need that many. I think 2 or 3 would be sufficient, and I do think you need to drink a whole lot of water when you're taking it in the capsule form because you want it to hydrate. It's going to have to do that in your stomach. So a lot of the body is going to miss the benefits of the clay. Maybe twice a day if that's not working as well. Just play with it and find your level 2 or 3 times a day. You can't overdo on clay, but you can find and you can tell when it's working, your body will respond. So just play with it and find that, but do drink lots of water with it. Martha from Hillside, would a clay wash remove pesticides, E. coli bacteria from fresh fruits and vegetables? Yes, it's going to pull anything with a positive charged ion, and your E. coli bacteria and pesticides, those chemicals have positive charged ion. Clay is known to remove paraquat, which is a chemical pesticide. So, yes, it's very strong at that. I would mix up a solution of clay water and pour it over your vegetables, stir them around in it, let it sit in it for just a minute or two, and then rinse them off. And I think that's an excellent way, particularly right now if you're living in the South, in the Gulf, where some of those toxins have landed, and you want to clear that out. Okay, we have a question from Doris in Scottsdale. What can the clay be mixed with to ingest it? Does it have a flavor? Will it get thick when mixed with the liquid? Clay is a thickener. It's what they use in chocolate milk to make chocolate milk thick. Gives it that little thickening quality. If you put it in a smoothie, you may want to add a little more water to your smoothie because it is going to absorb the moisture, putting a tablespoon of the dry in it. If you put the hydrated in it, it's not going to thicken it as much because it already has the water in it. You can mix it with juices. I would go ahead and mix it in the liquid form and then add it to apple juice, your 1 ounce or 2 ounces to some apple juice. That's how my grandson likes it. Some people take it in tomato juice and in their tea. So there are any ways. A lot of people take psyllium with their clay. I don't think you need to stay on the psyllium very long because psyllium is going to take out all the good bacteria. So you want to take some probiotics or eat some good yogurt after you take it with the psyllium to rebuild your bacteria. But you can mix it most ways. A good clay should not have a flavor. When you hold it in your mouth, it's only going to feel cold. It won't feel salty. It won't be sweet. It won't be sour. It won't be tart. It's just void of taste. But when you swallow it, there's a little chalky feeling. And that little chalkiness to it, one sip of water and that's gone. I don't even notice it. I just take my little shot of clay, drink it straight. Of course, I drink a lot of water during the day because that helps flush out the toxins that the clay pulls out. Jessica, New York, I already have your book, which I love. Are there any other books you recommend for those of us who want to learn more about using clay? Jessica, there is a very old book. I wish it would come back into circulation. It's called Earth Cures by Raymond Dexter. He was the forefather of herbs and herbal medicine and natural medicines back in France. He's long been dead. When you read his book, there's a lot of wisdom that still applies to today. Some of the things you can tell were a little outdated, but nearly every chapter he talks about clay and using clay and how important clay is in maintaining your overall health naturally. But he will also tell you how to make concoctions with different herbs. Now, you'll have to look on Amazon to find it, Our Earth, Our Cures. And it's out of publication. It may be $40, $60, something like that, but it's an excellent reference book to keep on hand. The other book I like is Rand Kanichsky's book. Let's see, what's the name of it? The Clay Cure. Or there's one called The Healing Clay by Michelle Abshira, which is a translation of the Earth Cure book. It was originally written in France, and she helped with the translation of it. But in the Earth Cure book, he drew pictures of the different herbs and tells how to make tinctures and how to make poultices and lots of things in there. And like I say, when you read it, you can tell it was a long time ago, and it's pretty obvious which things are sort of outdated. But those are some good books. Catherine in Denver. My daughter is having a lot of Charlie horses in your leg. Do you know what causes this, and will clay help? I've always heard Charlie horses are caused by a lack of potassium. It's showing you need potassium in your system. So I would recommend getting some potassium capsules. Also doing some stretches, stretching those muscles out. When you put the clay on there, our Living Clay Company has a product called Muscle Rub that's the clay with tea tree oil, jojoba oil, and peppermint oil in it. And it's very, very good on knotted up muscles. I've been working with the trainer lately, and I come home and she's really working on my neck and shoulder muscles because I've sat at the computer too long. So by the time I get home, I can feel where she's poked, jabbed, pulled, and stretched. And I go get my jar of Muscle Rub and just put a thin coat on my neck and those shoulder muscles, let it dry, and just leave it on all day. And it just takes the soreness away of any Charlie horses or muscles. Another thing that might help is taking a clay bath at night. My son-in-law was lifting 50-pound containers one day, and he got a Charlie horse in his back, and the muscle just knotted up, and he couldn't even stand up. It just, one of those muscles that just grabs you, and you can't stand up afterwards. And he called my daughter and said, start me a clay bath. And he hopped in the car and started home. And when he got there, she had the clay bath ready. And he hobbled out of the car and hobbled in the bathroom and got in there and started soaking. And 10 minutes later, he was out. And my daughter said, well, you're supposed to stay in there 15 or 20 minutes. And he said, the knot's gone. It released. It relaxed it. It's gone. He said, it's just tender where it was so tight when I push on my back. So she rubbed some muscle rub on his back on that area, and he was good to go, was down on the floor playing with Jack, lifting him in the air and doing that father-son thing that they do when they wrestle with their kids and hold them up in the air and all. So she might try a clay bath at night to relax those leg muscles. And I would recommend for something like that just using 1 cup of the clay. And I always like to pre-hydrate the clay. I do it in a blender. So if you put your water in a blender and then put your clay in and then top it off with water and blend it real good to get all the lumps out, then start your clay bath and pour it in there and flush it out with the hydrant water. And be sure and wash your blender blades before you get in the water. You don't want to leave any clay on them. Gene Brody in Colebrook. Hi, Gene. Gene and I have corresponded several times through email. Although eating a whole foods diet, I'm still severely constipated. How much clay a day would you recommend? You know, it's odd. Sometimes clay helps people get regular and start having 3 bowel movements a day, and it's just wonderful. It doesn't overdo it. It's not diarrhea. It's very normal. Other people take the clay and they have constipation, which generally is from pulling out old fecal matter. But everybody reacts different to it. So I would start taking an ounce of the liquid clay twice a day and see how that does. If you're getting good results, you can increase it. If you feel like you're getting more constipated, then I would take a magnesium tablets. They're over-the-counter, 250-milligram magnesium tablets. You can take one in the morning or one at night, and it's very helpful. Oftentimes, magnesium needs to be in a higher percentage than your calcium intake on your vitamins because it helps, when there's more magnesium, it helps make the calcium more bioavailable to the body. It's one of those chemical things that goes on between vitamins. Sharon in Fort Collins, Colorado. Hi, Sharon. I was taking activated charcoal before I started using clay about 2 months ago. Do you think I should continue this or is it necessary now? I don't think it's necessary, Sharon. Charcoal and clay have both been the element is the heat. The heat burns out, and when you burn a log, you feel the heat rising, right? And then it leaves ash behind or charcoal, which just hasn't had as much heat. When it's had a whole lot of heat, it all goes to ash. Well, clay is volcanic ash. It has had tremendous heat. This is what causes a vacuum within the clay molecule and makes it have that drawing power. So charcoal has some, but I believe because of the intense heat from the volcano, the clay has even more drawing power. It draws 32 times its molecular weight. For me, I find charcoal is very messy to work with. Black gets everywhere. It gets on your clothes. It stains. Clay won't stain, and it's going to do the same thing and probably better. So if I were you, I'd just stick with the clay. My husband cut his finger on a tuna fish can and now has a small bump on the inside of his finger. Would applying clay to this area help in the healing, and what's the best way to apply it? Absolutely. I would put the hydrated clay on there. You get the powder clay and mix it 1 part clay to 3 parts of water. shake it real, real good. Let it sit 10 or 15 minutes. It'll be about the consistency of sour cream. Put it on there thick, really thick, and wrap some saran wrap or glad press and seal around it just to hold it in place. If he can do that, it'll look kind of awkward, but the thicker that it stays on there, the better. Later, as it starts healing, if he wants to put a thin coat on and let it dry and just sleep with it that way at night, it's going to take the pain away and really speed the healing process. If there's any swelling there, it'll help it go down, and it will help reduce the scar tissue. I mashed my finger in a door at a hotel one night. In the dark, I went to the bathroom, and I was feeling my way back, and this big, heavy door closed on my little finger and caught my fingernail right in the middle. It hurt so bad, and I went back in the bathroom, and I grabbed my clay, smothered it on there, wrapped a Kleenex around it, and went to bed. I didn't know until the next day that it had crushed my fingernail, broken it, and there was blood on the Kleenex the next morning. It wasn't sore to the touch. It kept it from swelling. I put more clay on there. I did that for about 3 days. It never swole. The nail bed somehow healed real quickly. It kept it from getting really black and blue. And it was amazing how it kept the pain away. Anytime I'd feel the pain coming back, it's a sign you need to go put fresh clay on there. So let's see if we have any more. Christy from Gun Barrel, Texas. Now, I don't know where that is. I'm going to have to look that up. How often do you have the teleseminars? Christy, I've been having them about twice a month. We're getting sort of a low listening audience. I would like for it to build up, and I would appreciate if any of you would remind people to listen in to them. I've offered to do this for our wholesalers and talk with their people too, because I'm paying for this service and I'd like to get a lot out of it. And I know people are busy and don't have time to listen in, and we do hold these on our website, on the aboutclay.com site for, you know, a week or so after the seminar. Eventually we'll have so many on there we'll have to eliminate some, but you can go through. If you miss any during the day, you can go through and listen. Danica in Phoenix. Is this the Danica I know from Orlando? Danica says, is there some place we can find food recipes that add clay? Also, what about different recipes for facials that incorporate healing herbs and oils? A lot of people mix the clay oils with their clay, lavender, and different oils. Our muscle rub is tea tree oil, peppermint oil, and jojoba oil. You don't need very much of the oils with the hydrated clay. Always hydrate the clay first before you add your oils. You can kind of play with them, be the devil's advocate. In the case of the muscle rub, it's like a mild icy hot. It's deeper penetrating, and it has that very soothing quality of the peppermint in it, in the tea tree. I'm not real fond of mixing a lot of herbs and things with clay. Occasionally, if clay doesn't like something, it will let you know because it will kick it out. It may be an odor. It may start, if you close it up and open it, it may start smelling like sulfur or something. One time we had a new dye they had given us, and they said, oh, this is a great dye. It's already mixed in liquid form, and it will, you know, your colors will be more vibrant. Well, the base of it, the clay didn't like, and I always try things, you know, and test them because I don't want anything that's going to make the clay stain, and we had some spas that were wanting some colored clay. So I took the one that was red, we call it Sedona Red, and I painted a strip on a towel, and when I came back later, the clay had literally kicked the color out. And the strip in the middle was gray, and the outside edges had gone back to the red. We left some in a jar with the lid on it for a month. When we opened the jar, eventually it started changing the color of the clay in the jar, taking it back pretty much to the original site. But when you opened it, it smelled like rotten eggs. So there's some things it doesn't. It's very particular about who it goes to bed with or who it goes to the ball with. so it's temperamental. So when you're mixing it with herbs and things, it's kind of a trial and error. Some people, you know, do it quite readily if they're familiar with oils and things. I don't know where there's a place that has a lot of recipes like that. As far as food recipes, if you go to aboutclay.com, there are recipes there. There are recipes in the Living Clay book. And we have, we're always adding new recipes for foods and things. We had a young lady that had 4 children, and she couldn't get them to eat the clay, so she started cooking with it, and she worked for us for a while, and she would bring us muffins with clay in it, and she made her pizza dough with clay in it, and so she was the one that really started us on recipes. And like I said, I've used it in a pot of chili, and it just takes the grease away. I just poured some hydrated clay into it, about 1/4 cup into a big pot of chili, and all the grease just disappeared. And that's when I realized how it's lowering people's cholesterol. It's sorbing that fatty grease. So, all right, let's see. Okay, here's another one. Isaac in Boca Raton. Taking clay, living clay in liquid form internally, how does taking ACV and baking soda mix affect the clay? Well, those are both very alkaline in nature. The clay's got a 9.7 pH. I think if you mix baking soda with it, you're going to get a little bubbling and gas escape. But I'm a believer in just taking the clay alone by itself internally. It's the best thing I know of. It's a standalone. It doesn't need a lot of help. It's already a 9.7 pH. How high do you want to go? But clay maintains the body's pH. It doesn't overdo it. You don't want to overkill. You want a balanced alkaline state. So that's why I'm just in favor of taking the clay by itself and not doing a lot of mixing with it. Another question from Isaac. How do you compare living clay with pascalite? I think you mean pascalite. Well, they're two different clays. Their mineral composition is different. Pascalite is a good external clay. It's pretty gritty. It has black specks in it. Though it's a good drawing clay, I'm not real fond of it for internal. I've tried it before and it has a little taste to it. The texture is not as appealing. Someone told me the other day the living clay is the silk of clays. It's such a fine powder. It blends so smooth. And it comes out about like sour cream. So, you know, I always tell people the best thing to do is to try do a comparison. Get the clays and try them and see which one you like and what works best for you. I know that living clay, sometimes it looks like it costs more, but if you hydrate the living clay, you use 3 times the water. With the pascalite, it's a 1-on-1. So though it seems cheaper in price, the living clay is going to make you 3 jars of hydrated clay, where the pascalite will only make you 1. It will make 32 jars of liquid clay. A 1-pound jar of the powder clay, living clay, will make, it will make 4 32-ounce bottles of liquid clay. And the Sonys and the Great Payne's Yerba are about $13.95 a jar, and so, or a bottle. And I think that was for a 16-ounce. So you can see the savings in buying a pound of clay and mixing it yourself. All right, let's see if we have any more questions coming up. Sandra in Detroit, are there any outlets selling living clay at a reduced price? I love this clay very much, but we're on a tight budget right now, and I'm always looking for bargains. Probably there are, and you may have to look for them online. We are working now to get the clay in places like Whole Foods, and I know that they will probably have promotions periodically, they generally do, and we're working with them so that they can do that and help get it in the stores where we haven't had it in too many stores. It's in a lot of little small health food stores all across the country. I don't know specifically which ones. I couldn't give you a list. If you will contact me either by phone or email, and my email is perrya@austin.rr.com. That's perrya@austin.rr.com. Or give me a phone call at 512-262-7187. I will try to find any stores that might be in your area. It'll take me a while to look it up, but if you'll contact me privately, I'll see what I can do. Can you use as clay as a deodorant under your arms? Absolutely. I do all the time. I take just a thin amount of the hydrated clay and rub it under my arms and let it dry while I'm getting dressed and doing my hair in the morning. My arms are up while I'm drying my hair, and let it dry and just leave it on. It's a wonderful deodorant. Now, some people use the powder and rub the powder under there, so whichever one works for you, yes, it's an excellent deodorant. Clay absorbs odors readily, and it works very well. I find when I rub some clay on me and leave it on the next morning in the shower, it's amazing when you wash it off, the areas that you had clay on, your body feels so soft and slick and smooth. It's just a whole different feel than the rest of the body that didn't have the clay on it. So I'm a great believer of going to clay, bed with clay somewhere on me most every night, either a thin coat on my face, around my wrinkle lines, under my eyes. Sometimes I just put a little bit under each eye because they're starting to get baggy at 72. And maybe I don't have time for a full facial, so at night I just put a thin coat on and sleep with it on. So those are some of the things that I do. Okay, it looks like that's all the questions we have for now. It's 12:31. We were going to try to keep these to 30 minutes. I'm going to go enjoy my grandson's 7th birthday. I can't believe he's 7 years old. And I'm also going to go get my muscle rub because I went this morning for my workout with my trainers. And I'm beginning to feel a little tenderness in my neck, so I'm going to go get my Ever-Ready muscle rub and treat myself to a little relaxation of those muscles. And I hope you'll find a way to use clay today, too. If you will, you'll find that it will really enhance your life and your health. And have a happy day and clay fully. Good night.